See at TD Ameritrade. You can look and feel like the pros in this new item for 2018. That's Saturday, September 1st. The Cards, the Reds, and the home white embroidered jersey. Get your tickets now at cardinals.com/promotions.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA.
This is quite what's about to happen here is quite an honor for me. And I don't know how this even happened. I have been asked to open, and you can see this is a sealed envelope. Mm-hmm. I've been asked to open a sealed envelope, and inside this envelope, I'm emotional because this is such an honor, will be revealed Chevy dealer of the decade. The decade. This is huge.
It is huge.
There we go, boy. I hope it's who I hope it will be, or this could be very awkward.
Long envelope.
Pretty big, yeah.
Chevy dealer of the decade. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet.
Oh! Yeah,
I was hoping to do that. Oh, I was hoping it would be him.
Woo!
Wow. Huge. Congratulations, John.
Hi.
See, that's called modesty. That's modesty. I'm fine. I'm fine. Congratulations.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Frank. Yeah, I appreciate that, buddy.
That's
you do. You're a nice guy.
So
you're really a nice guy. I don't care what Dan says about you while I'm on, I guess I'm on hold just talking to him, and he's talking about all kinds of stuff. I really don't know what he's talking about, but I just keep...
You didn't hear it? Dan, you had him...
What?
You had him where he couldn't even listen on hold because you were talking to him when I just had the big reveal?
No, he couldn't hear that.
No, I heard all that.
Okay.
It's prior to that. It's when all the commercials are going on before I come on, and he's talking. I don't know. I have no idea. No idea what he's talking about.
Well, he doesn't either.
I listen to him.
You listen politely.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to. I feel sorry for Dan. I got to listen to him. Nobody else in that studio listens to him.
No, and with Dan,
thank you, John.
That's how we've chosen to treat Dan for years and years and years, is act like what he's saying is interesting.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. And then he's happy. So how's business? Hey, do you know Ned Spurk is still with us? He's with us all week. Ned, say hi to John.
Hey, John.
Hey, Ned.
How are you?
I'm fantastic, man. How are you?
Doing great.
Hey, Ned.
Ooh, he's got his call.
I think Ned. Ned, you've had a... Okay, I guess I'll wait.
We gotta play a little duck music for you, huh?
Thank you. You've had a hunting dog or two, haven't you?
I have never owned a hunting dog.
Oh, see, I thought you had.
No, never have.
Okay.
No, but I like him.
Sorry,
I could have lied and said I did.
You got a guy with his immense talents, Ned, on your show. You don't know anything about him. You don't like spend time to find out the true Ned. Okay.
Wow, Ned.
I'm starting to feel horrible.
Wow.
Ned, you want to get together after the show?
Sure.
Maybe I can get to know you a little
bit? We'll chat.
Yeah. Wow.
Ned, you've had hunting dogs? No, I've never had hunting dogs. Well, okay.
John, I got an idea for you and Mimi, and this is kind of the hip, cool thing to do now, and I don't know if they'd allow it in your neighborhood. Maybe they would, but yesterday, Ned brought all of us eggs from his own hens.
Oh, yeah.
They have hens, and these are those... pastel colored, like, look almost like Easter eggs, but that's how they come out of the hens. These are what they call them. They call Easter egg.
Easter
eggers. Call them Easter
eggers.
Yeah.
That's what they call the hens.
Yeah.
And so he brought us all these eggs. You might want to ask Mimi, instead of lugging eggs from the grocery store, if she'd like for you guys to have some chickens around your yard. You have your own your eggs.
Sandy and I had some eggs this morning.
How were they?
They were great.
Oh yeah,
fresh.
Yeah.
Can't get fresher.
No.
Can't get any fresher than that.
No, and did you know this, John? Ned told us that those eggs he brought us, you do not refrigerate them, and as truly farm-fresh eggs that aren't pasteurized, they're good for at least 2 months just sitting on the counter.
That's right.
How about that? I didn't know that.
Why would you want to let them sit on the counter for 2 months?
Well, you wouldn't, but you could. They wouldn't go bad. In other words, you could still eat them. You wouldn't.
Just kind of insinuate, like, you know, put them on the counter. Then they're going to roll off and break.
No, in the carton. You put them in. Just lay them. Well, no, of course, you don't let them roll off.
You kind of thought that you were going to just lay them right there on the kitchen counter. But, how do you like your eggs cooked, Frank?
Well, either scrambled so that it's all yellow, because I don't want to see any white. Or fried, and I cut the yolk out and just eat the yolk and throw the white. Well, I'll throw it away. I give it to my wife, and she eats it. I don't eat fried egg white.
Huh. Okay.
Because it tastes like, the consistency is like a crappie jig to me. Plastic. I don't like it. I don't like that, that egg white. Even like a hard-boiled egg. She'll eat the white, and I'll eat that yellow, that yolk, out of the middle.
And these chickens and these eggs will be, the yellow will be, your scrambled eggs will be even more yellow, all toward orange almost.
Well, that's good. I'm going to scramble those eggs.
You'll like it.
So there's just an idea. If you haven't thought about that, see if you got a homeowners association or something, see if they'll let you have some chickens. I don't think he's jumping on this.
He doesn't seem too
interested. Plus, it might not be a good idea when Drake comes home, the dog. He might have his way with those chickens, not sexually, like eat them. Or kill them.
Yeah,
that might not be a good
idea.
Yeah,
they tend to like to grab them.
Yeah, it'd be tempting for a dog. So how's business? How's the dealership?
Good.
All right, I guess we're done. Segment's over.
No, it's good. We can, hey. Always
be better. I knew you'd say that.
Yeah, that's right. Are you kidding me?
Well, it's no different than this business. This business could always be better. You could use an advertiser or two to add on. It could always be better. And
You're talking to one of your most loyal advertisers.
I know that. And by the time the segment's over, business will be better because this is Wednesday and you're open late tonight. See, I picked that up from him because he always does that.
Yes, he does.
And we're going to run some people in there tonight, sell some vehicles.
So is Limey there?
Limey's here. He's just being really quiet.
How's it going, son?
Well, here's the deal. He's reluctant to talk because the last couple of days he said some really stupid stuff, and he's trying not to be that stupid.
What if I said that stupid?
Oh, you said some dumb thing, and you said some disrespectful things. You called me an a-hole.
Yeah. I did not call you an a-hole.
Yes, you did. Everybody heard it.
Mr. Lundoff, you are being lied to,
everybody
and I do
heard
apologize
it.
For the sense of humor.
Everybody heard it.
I've never heard him be disrespectful. He's British. They're very classy.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I believe the word you're looking for isn't classy. It's odd. they're odd.
No, they're very. They're. I've only been lucky enough to be able to go to London one time in my life, and with the family, and we had a great time. And people are so nice. They're so nice. You want to stay there, but And I'd always heard that the food was terrible. The food's unbelievable.
Really? Okay. You don't hear much, though, about the food. You don't. And you go to France, you do. Italy, you do. But you really don't hear, I went to London, had great food.
The British don't really have a cuisine, you know? I mean, we've got maybe pies. That's really about it.
You have tea.
Yeah, we have tea. But,
crumpets.
I mean, you know, that was
fish
brought from India.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fish and chips. That's right.
There's something else you have. You have a lot of pints.
Yeah, a lot of pints. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a real pint.
Like the beer's not cold. Yeah, it is. The beer is great, and people are so friendly. And, hey, the pubs are crowded. I mean, the British, they drink almost like 20 hours out of the day. They sleep for about 5 hours, and they're drinking.
What is a crumpet? The tea and crumpet thing. What
all
is
right.
that, Limey?
It's crumpet.
Like a cracker?
It's like a breakfast.
It's the horn that Louis Armstrong
biscuit.
Played.
No, that's a trumpet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's a
breakfast food.
Like it's a
like
breakfast food that you take that you toast and you eat with like you know your eggs and your tea and
is
stuff.
Is it like a
that.
Scone or something?
No, not really.
He showed me a picture of it. It's not anything I've ever even seen before.
Right. Basically, it's like a toasted piece of pastry.
Like a muffin.
Yeah, kind of like a muffin, but right. The top is toasted with like all these little crispy holes in it, and you can just put the butter on, and it's delicious. That is a crumpet,
Ooh,
Ned.
Oh, wow, that's good.
You if you go back, John, you can check out crumpets.
Making me hungry. I've had them.
They're delicious.
And I've never been to London.
There's not a lot of food. I tell you what, my wife and I, Mimi, and I would love to go again if you want to host us on a trip, you know. You and your
I was thinking sort of the same thing, except for the hosting part. I was thinking, like, you would host us and we'd go to London.
You know, first of all, you could take us to dinner again. It's been months, you know, at Annie Gunn's, and we could talk about it there.
Here we go. Here we go.
All right. Hey, Telly Tire, Aaron Telly and the family. Unbelievable. So many locations. It's hard to even explain, but you have 1323 Big Ben.
They should be advertising here. People would know how many locations they have.
He's AM at the PM.
Ah, he'd be more AM at the PM if he'd come on the show. He needs to let me sell tires.
I'm on the show. He's bought like 15 vehicles from us in about 3 years because of this show.
I don't have a tire dealer. I need a tire dealer. I would sell tires for him.
You're getting kind of cranky.
No, I'm not. I'm asking for the business. Aaron, if you're listening, let's sell some tires.
You know what I need, John? I need a High Country. You got any of those?
What's that?
Yes, sir.
What is it?
We sure do.
That's a Silverado, top of the line, kind of a little bit Western kind of on the inside.
Really?
Neat truck.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
We have some 2018 High Country that we just got in today.
No, I've never heard. Is this a Chevy package? I've never heard of this.
It's a neat truck.
So what do you get on a High Country truck that you don't get?
Maybe if you came to Chevrolet.
Here we go. I was in there last week.
You were not here last week?
Yes, I was. You weren't there. I went and saw a Diana, and I saw, I forgot his name. I was in there in the last month twice, and you were busy.
You were sneak attack. You just came in, didn't tell me.
Well, you were busy. I'm not going to bother you.
I'm never too busy to see you, my friend.
Yeah. So back to the High Country. What does it have that a regular Silverado doesn't have?
Well, tell us, John, because I mean, I just know they're neat.
Is it like different interior?
Oh, yeah. Different leather.
Own trim package. Exterior accompaniments, and then the interior is different than an LT, different than a LTZ. And
it sounds like a movie title. High Country.
It does.
Now, there was a movie, an old movie I've talked about before, called The Big Country with Burl Ives. And I'd like to now do a line from The Big Country with Burl Ives. Here we go. You set foot in Branco Canyon, this county's going to run red with blood.
Wow.
Thank you. Barbara Stanwyck and Burl Ives, Barbara Big Country. Stanwyck. That's what I thought of when you said High Country.
It's a neat truck. The last truck I bought from John was an LTZ, and I think it's a little different look on the inside, different interior totally, isn't it?
Yes, totally, totally different. And we'd love to have the opportunity maybe for you to come and visit, and then you would probably spend time with me and talk.
I'll look you up.
We'd get to know each other better. I wouldn't know that you've ever had a hunting dog. You know, and I could obviously give Frank that information where Frank could get to know you better.
Sure.
I would now like to do a scene from a movie I just wrote in my head. This is a scene I just wrote in my head, and we're going way, 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 way back to the people who are fans of the old Walter Brennan and Gabby Hayes. And in this scene, they are present day. They've been transported from the grave, and they're at Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. And Walter Brennan is looking at a High Country Chevy. And then he'll turn to Gabby, and you'll know what to do. Here we go, and now here is that scene.
Well, I don't think I've ever seen a truck like this before. It's something. Look at that interior. Look at that special, what do you call them, options or something on there. Gabby, what kind of truck is that? Got any idea?
Well, I don't know what it is, Roy.
Man, that's something.
I just looked on here, it says High Country.
Wow.
Thanks, everybody.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Alrighty.
Well, we're here late tonight.
That's it.
We've got some great deals, and we really need to see the AM and the PM crowd.
You will.
Out.
You'll see them. They'll be there.
Randy was here yesterday. Had his full name written down. He's listening right now.
Awkward. You had his name, but you don't have it right now.
I will get it, and Dan, if I text it to you, will you please make sure that you mention Randy's full name?
Mary
Ryan, he came to Mary, and he says, God, congratulations on retirement. He knows he's an avid listener, first-time buyer, Johnny Landoff Chevrolet, and he was recommended.
Welcome, Randy. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the Johnny Landoff family.
He was recommended by another AM and the PM listener who's been a multiple buyer, bought several cars from me. So listen, Randy, thank you very much.
He got a deal that was fine and dandy. He's a new customer. His name is Randy. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Just made that up. Just now I made that up.
314-837-1800.
He wants to move on.
314-837-1800. 314-837-1800. I have customers here, and it's time to sell some more vehicles, and it's been a beautiful day. Absolutely a gorgeous day today. And I just think people are happy when you have this nice. It was cool this morning.
That's right.
And it's just gorgeous. Just makes you want to come out and buy a car.
It sure does. We'll send them to you. Go take care of those people, and we'll send you more.
Oh, thank you very much, Frank, and I hope you get to know Ned better, buddy.
All right, thank you, John.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. I promised I'd tell that story again. So what was the guy's name who wanted to hear that story? Can't remember. we should take notes, but we don't.
Mm-mm.
And then we'll get Dr. Doug in here, and then he and Ned will have a lesson.
Was it Robert?
I think it was Richard.
Richard. It was Richard, yeah.
All right, here
Richard.
We go, Richard.
I thought of Randy's full name, by the way. Randolph.
Remember that last time you wondered why you got fired?
here it comes again.
Yep. So I'm in my 20s. I'm still in the Army Reserve, so I have my fatigue jacket that I could still get into at that time because I was still small. Married, I weighed 145 pounds. The reason I mention this is because part of the story involves wearing a fatigue jacket. Fatigue jackets in the Army had really big pockets, so I was able to have a handgun in the pocket, and nobody really would know. And even back then, when I was in a place that I thought, sketchy, or if I was on the road and traveled, I always had a gun. And yes, even when it was not really legal, I still had one, because I believe that back then, when there were no cell phones, if you broke down late at night in the middle of nowhere, I didn't want to be at the mercy of some lunatic. So my wife and I are on Interstate 55 down around, I don't know, Cape Girardeau, Cape Girardeau, St. Genevieve, somewhere. I had to go pee. I had to pee. Now, normally a guy will just pull over. Just pee outside, but it's the interstate, so you can't just sort of pull off on the shoulder of an interstate at night. And it was late, and I mean late, like midnight, 1 o'clock. But I still didn't feel comfortable just sitting on the side of an interstate. A big truck could have come by. It's just not. So there's a rest area, and it said rest area 2 miles, and it was one of those well lit brick fluorescent. Nice rest area. So we were driving our 73 yellow Volkswagen Super Beetle, the first new car we were able to buy. This is how much I remember this, because when something scares you to death, you remember details. And I remember pulling into the rest area, and I also remember that we seemed to be the only ones there. It was really late, and there weren't, you know, usually when you pull into a rest area, there's a few other vehicles there, tourists or travelers or trucks or nothing, except there was a Volkswagen. What did they call those little hippie buses? Were they just called buses?
Yeah, or Volkswagen bus.
Yeah, there was one of those there, but there's nobody in it, and it was old, and it looked almost like it had to be broken down, and I just thought, well, somebody left it there because it wouldn't run or wouldn't start, and I assumed we were the only ones there. My wife did not need to go, so I just said, be right back, run in here and pee, and then we're back on the road. And I'm left-handed, so I had the gun in my left pocket, fatigue jacket pocket. And I walked in the restroom, and the minute, as soon as I pushed the door open, I knew there was just, this was just bad. When I pushed the door open and then it closed, waiting behind the door was a guy with a knife, and it was a good size, like a hunting knife, a big knife. And he had that look of, I'm going to cut somebody up. He was just waiting for somebody, and there were two other guys with him. One guy had a chain. I remember he was holding a chain, and I do not remember anything about the third guy, if he was holding anything. I know he wasn't holding a gun. Whatever he had wasn't a gun. So there's a knife and a chain. And when the door closed, the two of them, two of the guys, the one behind the door and the other one, stepped toward me. And I reached in my pocket, and I just pulled that gun out halfway. And they stopped, and they took a step back. And I remember exactly what I said. I said, I'm going to take a leak. Does anybody here have a problem with that? And they backed up, and I did. I went ahead. I kept my left hand on that gun grip, and I did my business with my right hand, which wasn't easy for me because I'm left-handed. And I zipped and zipped up and shook and everything and with my right because I wasn't taking my hand off that gun. When I finished, and the whole time I'm making sure over my shoulder, I nobody takes a step toward me. And they just stood there. I guess they thought I was a cop. I don't know what they thought. But they didn't take another step toward me. When I finished, and by the way, my heart was going 1,000 miles because I am scared to death. But I knew it's that old show up to a gunfight with a knife, you lose. And had they made another move, I think I'd have just killed them all and gotten in my car and gone on home, and nobody would have cared because they were scum anyway. But I was able to walk out, and as I left, I remember what I said. I said, you gentlemen have a nice morning, because it was after midnight. And I got in the car, and I remember pushing the door locks down. There were no electric locks. It was two doors, and I pushed those pegs down. And I looked at my wife, and she could tell I was shaking, but they didn't see it. When I was in there, I was super cool, and I don't know how, but when I got in that car, I took off, no cell phones, and I just drove as fast as I could to get away from there. And she said, what in the world happened? And I said, I came so close to being murdered in that restroom. Those guys are waiting to kill somebody. Now, it was no more than 3 or 4 weeks later. We're back home here, and we're watching the news. And here comes the evening news. And the lead story is that a guy and his family that had pulled in a rest area, that same stretch of highway, the husband was murdered, and I mean butchered, by some guys waiting. And I looked at her, and I said, that's those guys. They killed this family's dad.
Did they show them, and you knew that for sure?
No. They didn't show them. I don't know if they ever caught them. Yeah. I just thought, that's those same scumbags. Because apparently the mom and the kids saw them run out of the men's room after they killed the dad. Hmm. And so there were three of them. And I said, my goodness, I'll bet you that's the same three guys. Had I not had that gun, I'm telling you right now, they'd have had... They'd have killed me, gone out and had their way with my wife and killed her probably. It would have been not good. And I, ever since that happened, I don't ever, ever want to be in a situation. I don't care if it's somebody breaking in my house and I hear the glass and I hear them come in. I don't want to be in a situation where all I have is a stick. Okay? Or a spray, pepper spray, or what? I want to have a better chance than that. So no one should ever argue with me about whether or not we should be able to defend ourselves, because my story, and I have one other one similar sort of, and I'm convinced in that case too, something very bad would have happened. And it's a really good feeling to know that you've not only got a chance, but that you are still around because you had the upper hand I didn't kill anybody. I didn't shoot anybody. I didn't fire a shot. Don't want to kill anybody. I think a lot of people think gun people just are walking around wanting an opportunity to draw their guns. No, that's not what we're like at all. So there you go. So that's the story, and I probably won't tell it again for a long, long time. And now...
Before we go to Dr. Doug, John Londoff sent me Randy Benton. Is AM in the PM.
Randy Benton.
Yeah, Benton. He bought a car from Nathan Zorowski yesterday.
You probably messed up his last name. Nathan, the sales guy.
Nathan. Okay, Nathan. Zorowski.
That probably is Zorowski. Sounds good to me.
Maybe you messed up his first name, Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably Nathan.
Oh, yeah.
All right, hit it, Maestro. Dan, is that call for Dr. Doug already?
Yes.
All right. But somebody smart and got in here early. Let me give the numbers, and then I'll tell you who sponsors Dr. Doug, and I think you know who it is. Here we go. If you have a pet, you have a question, we have your guy, Dr. Doug Pernikoff. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK. That's 855-282-8255. Dr. Doug is brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com if you want to find out more. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Clarkson Wilson Veterinary Clinic, your pet's best friend and the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon, Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey! 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 How is everybody today?
Great, doctor. How are you?
I am AM in the PM.
Now, do you know Outdoors Ned?
I couldn't hear you.
Do you know Outdoors Ned Spurk?
I do not.
Ned, Dr. Doug. Doug, Dr. Doug, Ned Spurk.
Dr. Doug, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm great.
Ned has a kennel in Waterloo called, and you'll love this, Howliday Inn. That he and his wife run, and they can accommodate like 50 dogs, and business is booming. And, wow. I just figure that you should know each other.
Because, yeah, I'd love to meet you sometime.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
You have like a house vet for your somebody close by? I'm sure you do.
We've got a guy named Dr. Alan Miller who's right across the street, literally within 45 seconds. Yeah, and four or five others in Waterloo, Columbia area.
That's wonderful. All right. Very good.
I have a question for you.
I just had a question. Do you breed animals, or you just do the daycare and... boarding kind of facility.
Daycare, boarding, and day spa, and training.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Day spa.
Yeah, day spa. Oh. We do some day spa.
Now, what was your question for Dr. Doug?
My question is, and I know not all doctors of veterinary medicine like this, but we have two dogs at home, and one of them has a pancreatic problem that we put that powdery stuff in her food once a month, which seems to really do well, because otherwise it almost seems like she's starving to death. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because the stuff
she's
just...
She's got what's called pancreatic insufficiency.
Yes, correct. That's exactly what I was
saying. Yes, I agree. But the other dog is a smaller blue heeler lab mix that's just the sweetest dog in the world. And we feed that dog...
Like, if you have a cut, that healer can heal it?
Yeah, it can do it.
Wow.
Fix it right up. We feed the dog raw.
Okay.
When we talked the other day, I told Frank that we fed our dog raw, and he said, what does that mean? And I said, well, we feed the dog raw meat, and what I didn't tell him is, I mean, they eat the bones and everything. You know, when you feed them raw. When you cook the bones, that's when they're brittle and that's when they can hurt the dogs and stuff. But are you a proponent or are you against that kind of thing?
So are you processing your own raw food or are you buying something frozen raw?
We're buying stuff frozen.
Okay, yeah. So I think those products are really good. And, you know, there's always this big argument. We spend all our lives creating these grain-based diets, and obviously these are carnivores. They're used to, they were born and evolved to eat, you know, protein and fat. So I actually encourage people to try some of the other dog foods that do just what you're saying, and they provide a good balanced diet. And I assume if they're formulated for commercial sales, that they're going to have the proper nutrients and calcium and minerals and all that kind of good stuff.
Dog does really well. Got a great looking coat and great breath and very small stools.
Oh.
Nothing that my wife can attest to.
Whoa.
Small stools.
Bad breath, big stools.
Oh, come on.
More than we wanted to know.
Why?
Maybe you should try raw.
Oh, yeah. I hope she's not listening.
Why? She hasn't left you. I don't know.
They call her the saint.
Boy, she is. Right? And I met your wife. She doesn't deserve that. Big stools and bad breath.
Well, we met when we were 15.
Hi, honey, I'm home.
Yeah. No, her. See, he's saying that she had that. Wow. She's packing her bags right now.
Oh, man.
Yes,
leaving you.
You keep inviting her to leave, but she won't.
You want to take some calls?
I sure do.
All right, 314-821. Folks, you got to call like right now. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK, which is 855-282-8255. Michael, say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hey, this is Michael Leroy. Hey, Dr. Doug.
Hey, how are you?
The PM.
Good. What you got, Mike?
Yeah, I know you like dachshunds, and I got an older one, 17 years old.
Wow, good.
And he's, by the way, he's on the raw diet.
Good.
There you go.
We buy a ground turkey product. We don't do the bones, but he seems to have gotten a revitalization recently. I'm not sure if it's from that diet, but we also introduced a couple of little puppies into the house and noticed that he became more vigorous because we haven't had them spayed yet.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering, is it okay to use saltpeter?
All right, hang up on this guy. No, hang up. Hang it up. Kill it. This guy called before, Doc, and we're done with him. And Dan, when he called about the saltpeter thing before,
if you
know it's him, and we have ways of knowing that, he's done.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Okay. Now we have lines open. Anybody wants to call, if you call in the next minute, we'll take your call. Otherwise, we'll close it out. We'll move on because we don't need that kind of stuff. 314-821-0590. Or 855-282-TALK, which is 855-282-8255. Hang on, we just rebooted the phones.
Okay,
I was going to
ask you a question, Frank.
Go right ahead.
Okay, so I know you're a marketing king. And
I don't know about that. I enjoy analyzing it.
Well, years ago when I was in high school, I actually was going to develop turkey jerky, and this guy was talking about turkey. And so I learned how to do beef jerky, and I thought, okay, I'll try and do turkey jerky. So I tried to make it, and it just came out like kind of a cooked, seasoned turkey, but it didn't taste like anything like beef.
Right.
So anyway, but it's come along, and it exists now. You know, there's turkey jerky everywhere.
They stole your idea.
They stole my idea, but they haven't stolen my phrase, my sailing phrase. And if I say it here on the audience, they'll hear it. But it's so good, I really think that you would like it.
Well, you have to email it to me.
Okay, I can do that.
And I don't know that that'll mean anything. I've had a lot of great ideas that went nowhere.
No, I know. I just have been carrying this phrase, this little jingle. For all these years, and I thought someone should use this. Maybe I can sell it to a turkey.
Well, why don't you? We need to get a hold of the turkey jerky people, the people that actually produced it. And the problem is keeping them from stealing it from you.
Yeah, I know.
I've had several things stolen from me, and and Ned knows this. He's done lots of artwork. It's sometimes it's tough to keep it from being stolen. Now we got the legitimate calls here. Let's start with. Sam, that's an easy name. Sam, say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hey, Dr. Doug, I've got an actual question for you.
All right.
Great, Sam, what you got?
So I've got a corgi, and he at some point over the past week stepped in gum, and we were able to get it off of his pad, but had to cut quite a bit of fur off of it in order to get it out. Now, I guess my question for you is, now his area around his little pad is a little bit raw now, and I'm just wondering overall what can I do to help that heal a little bit faster, and how can I, is there any products you recommend for keeping his pads healthy?
Yes, first of all, for just treating that area, I would suggest if your vet hasn't Had a chance to look at it. There's some things he can do. But if you want to try something at home, you could try blotting it. Don't rub it, but blot it with a little straight peroxide. And don't use any alcohol, okay, just peroxide, because that doesn't burn, but it has an anticoagulant effect. So if it is raw, it'll help kind of those capillaries dry out. And it's also a good cleansing way to manage it. And then you can put some ointment on there. The dog will lick at it. It's not going to matter. Okay, if you want to put a collar on him to keep him off of licking, it should dry out pretty quickly. Okay.
All right, but what about if you put ointment on it? Because this is funny. A week ago, we visited some friends, and they had a dog that was running around. They have a like a deck area, and this dog had, honest to goodness, I think all four of its paws were bleeding. And I thought, man, this is pretty sad. Don't they make little booties? Like, you could put the ointment in the booties, and then that would keep the ointment. Don't they make stuff like that?
Well, you could also use a little white, like a baby sock, and if you want to cover it, because the socks are nice because they let it breathe.
But you got to keep the dog from chewing it. They'll want to chew it off and pull it off because they don't that on there.
Well, you can get booties. You can also get, if you need to kind of, There's a product that I've seen at veterinary clinics. We used to carry it a little bit, but you actually glue kind of like a surface on the pads, and it's got kind of a grit to it, and it gives some traction for them, especially if you have wood floors.
And it heals at the same time.
And it gives it a chance to cover it.
What's that product called?
I can't remember the name, but I'll get it for you, and I'll send it on to you. But, yeah, it's kind of an accepted product.
What kind of ointment are you talking about? Like Neosporin or something?
Yeah, you could use a little Neosporin or any kind of antibiotic kind of thing. And just make sure it doesn't stay raw. And, of course, they do like to lick at those things. And if you can cover it, and, again, if you can find a booty, they do have them at all the pet shops. But in most cases, believe it or not, Frank, if you put a baby sock on and you put a little duct tape, half on the sock and half on on the leg, they really accept that pretty well. And then the only thing you have to do, obviously, is keep it dry.
All right.
So,
okay. Sam, does that help?
Yeah, that helped a whole lot. Thank you very much.
All right, Sam, thank you. This next name is an unusual one, and I'm sure it's correct because Dan doesn't make mistakes. This would be Deem, D-E-A-M. Hello, Deem. How are you?
Yeah.
Deem?
Yeah, how about Dean?
Well, how about Dean? Well, Dan, you made your first mistake.
Oh, man.
Dean, say hi to Dr. Doug.
What's happening, Dr. Doug?
Hey, how are you, Dean?
Not too bad. Hey, question is, see if you give us some recommendations. We have two dogs. One's probably 8 years old and about a 40-pound dog. The other one's about a year and a half, and she probably goes about 120. And my wife and kids think it's a good idea to get to rescue two new kittens. Ooh. What would be the best way to put all four of those animals together and have a recipe for success?
And these are kittens. They're young, right?
Young. They are, I don't know, 4 weeks old, five weeks old.
They're the very size that 120-pound dogs like to eat.
Yeah,
one bite.
Can you bread the kittens so they can have a little breaded treat? No, I would, I think you need to separate, this is just my opinion, but I would separate them and introduce the dogs to the kittens one at a time. Now, the kittens are going to be all, like, crazy, right? They're going to be running all over the place. And at some point, once they get comfortable, they'll start approaching the dog. So if you can keep the dog settled and let the kitten, like maybe in a small room or on a couch or something, and let the kittens just kind of explore and play around the dog and make the dog sit still, right? And then, as you see, you can kind of measure the dog's response to the kittens. In most cases, they want to get away from them because kittens tend to be kind of obnoxiously playful, right? And then I would do the same thing.
The 120-pound dogs are not obnoxious and playful, too.
He is?
She is.
She is. That's great. I mean, that's the best way to do it is to control the dog, in my mind, keep them quiet and still, if you have to keep them at, you know, in a position like a sit position, and then you let the cats get introduced and you try and keep the dog totally disinterested and quiet. And that could be tough, you know, and it might take a little time. I'm not worried about them hurting one another as much as I'm worried about them just scaring each other because they all have too much energy. So
one dog at a time, then.
I would definitely do one dog at a time. Otherwise, you're just going to have all hell's going to break loose. So, right? And then keep them, make sure you feed them separately, too, and get the cats fed.
Yeah, feed them separately. Feed one cat to one dog and the other cat to the other dog separately.
But I applaud you for the picking up the animals and making a home for them. That's great.
All right. I appreciate your advice.
All right, Dean. Thank you for the call. Thank you for listening.
Wow.
Before we get out of here, we can work on another call or two if you want. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK. Doc, last night, it was night before last, my grandson's been living with us. That ends after this week. And we've been setting traps, humane traps, not clamping, hurtful trap. But he likes to catch things. So we've got possums and we've caught a lot of raccoons. And we had caught one wild cat. And then night before last, we caught the second wild cat. And it could have been the same cat. I'm not sure. I got to tell you something. We've caught a lot of stuff. And I have never been more or felt more threatened by anything than this cat. This thing, when you approach the cage, this thing goes insane, and I don't like possums or their teeth or raccoons or their teeth, but I can deal and have handled those and snakes. That cat, I would not have even thought about getting anywhere near that cat. I couldn't let that thing loose fast enough, and when I did, Doc, I've never seen anything run that fast. He shot out of that cage like at 150 miles an hour. Holy yes. cow, can they move?
Scary.
Well, they're a high-end predator. You know, unlike the other animals you're talking about, they are a high-end predator, and they're going to be very much more aggressive, especially a feral or wild cat.
I thought if that thing leaves and then decides to turn around quickly and leap up and claw or bite my face, I'm done. I'm not kidding. That thing was scary.
Well, I have a case, I have a story like that, and we do, we take these cats in and we do a spay and neuter, and then we clip an ear, and then we release them for some people that want that. And that way they can't breed and they can't multiply, and that's important.
How can you even handle them? A wild cat like that, they are out of control.
Yeah, how could you want that?
Well,
you give them a tranquilizer.
Yes, we have.
You have to.
Who said drugs were bad? These drugs work.
That's a feral cat, Dr. Doug? Is that a feral cat?
That's a feral cat. And they're scary. And I had one time a lady called me to the house. So I go to the house. She has this wild cat she wanted to get trapped and checked and all that stuff. And I got in the garage with the cat. And I swear to God, and I've handled lots of crazy animals at the zoo and stuff, this thing attacked me and it bit my leg. And, of course, cats carry the worst bacteria in the world. And a lot of people get terrible infections. So, I mean, I was just scared to death. I couldn't get away from the thing. And I think I'm a pretty good animal handler.
No, I've never seen anything like that. This thing was just out of control.
They can scare you, yes.
He made it very clear. I don't want you near me, and I don't want to be in this cage. Don't you ever try to catch me again. Let's get Greg in here before we break away. Greg, say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hello, Dr. Doug, AM and the PM.
Thank you, Greg. What do you got?
Hi, Greg. How are you, man?
Not too good. I have three cats, and now all of a sudden they decided that the corner of my living room is their box to go, and it's driving me absolutely crazy.
Right.
The boxes are clean. I don't understand why they decided that urinating in the living room now is, and they're not older cats. They're 2 years old. So, I mean, I know older cats when they get up in age start doing that, but I'm just at my wit's end of trying to figure out what to do and how to stop them from doing it.
Yeah, are they inside cats strictly?
Yes.
They don't go outside?
No, not at all.
Okay, good. So what I would do is isolate them to a room, like maybe a utility room or someplace where you can put one or two of your boxes in there, and you keep them there for a couple of weeks, and you get them used to kind of retraining them to a box, and now you can get different products. There's some catnip-type products that go into the litter that attracts them into it. So that's Cat Attract is one of them, and I've seen that both mixed in the litter or bought separately at some of the pet shops. That's called Catatrax. So that works. And then, so the whole idea is to, like, recondition them to the normal, what we want them to do. The other thing,
but
of course...
But they still use the boxes all the time, too, so that's why I'm curious.
Well, but you want to isolate them, and let me tell you the other half of the story. The other half of the story is to get that area cleaned up, because they're going to repeat, and then once they start to, if I don't know if you have carpeting or whatever, but it gets into the pad, and then all of a sudden you've got a recurring kind of attraction. So there are some pheromone products that your veterinarian will carry, and possibly the pet shops too, that will attract, keep animals away from those particular areas, and you clean them up real well. And there's a lot of products out there. I use one called Odoban, O-D-O-B-A-N, and you can get it at most of the Walmart stores and places like that.
Is it like a repellent, like they don't want to get near it?
Well, that'll clear up the urine chemicals, and then you use the pheromone, which is a detractant, keeps them away from it, so they don't go back to the same spot. But then that's on top of isolating. You clean up the spaces that they're soiling, and then you isolate them while you're doing that and retrain them to their box, and then you start letting them out again. And then the final thing, of course, is you always want to make sure that one of them doesn't have a urinary tract infection that started all this, so your veterinarian can give exams on those three and check urine samples and stuff like that. So that would be the best composite way to try and turn this around. Do all those things.
Okay.
All right.
Okay? Awesome. Thank you very much, Doc.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Give me that theme music, if you would, please. We've closed out another Dr. Doug segment. Do it again next Wednesday, if that's okay with you, Doctor.
That's right.
All right.
And I got to go car shopping tonight, so I'm going to go up to Johnny.
We love hearing that. Thank you. Dr. Doug Pernikoff, everybody. Your pet's best friend. The official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States, windowworldstlouis.com, if you want more information. All right, I got a few minutes here, so I want to talk about our river cruise, our Rhine River cruise. Now, this thing is not until next June. We leave June 26, 2019, and you go, well, what are you talking about it now for? Well, here's why. I think we're down to, I'm not kidding, like seven cabins or something left on this thing, which really surprises me, pleasantly surprised at that, because I was afraid that what if we can't sell this out? I don't think that's going to be a problem, because we told certainly the people who've traveled with us before, and there are some couples who have been on 13, 14 of these trips with us. We've done 19 of them. We skipped this past year. We skipped it because of the transition to come here and all kinds of things. But we told everybody, double up, save that money, stack it on top of this year's money. And sure enough, for about right at twice what we normally spend, we're going to get to go on this Rhine River cruise. You got any European music, Limey? What, if I said European music, what would you think of like playing?
Because
we end up in Germany, I think. So it could be German music. It could be, I don't know if there's such a thing as Amsterdam music. Swedish music. There's no such thing, is there? Swedish music. What,
I'm not
Italian
entirely sure.
Music?
I mean, I think there is, but I have no idea what it's like. This one here is like Die Woody's Flicked Lied.
That's good enough.
All right.
Just play it, whatever it is. Oh, we got to wait for a commercial.
No, this is...
Mit von der Partie Die Woody's.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
I think they're wearing Lederhosen.
Okay, well, we end up in Germany. We don't end up in Germany, but we go to Germany. That's one of the stops. Folks, this thing is, this is like a five-star first-class thing. This is probably the nicest thing we've ever done. $4,499 per person. That's with air and taxes, and includes a bonus night in Lucerne. We leave June 26th. We get back. Hang on. I should know this, but I don't. And July 5th. So you're going to need to take like 10 days off or so. 10, 11 days, something like that. All of this stuff is on our Facebook page. And the reason I mention this is I got an email this morning from a guy who goes, all right, my wife and I are going to go on the Rhine River cruise. And I thought, okay, there's another cabin gone. So I just want to make sure, even though it's not till June 26th, along the way as we get closer to that date, at some point I'll probably say all the cabins are gone. This ship, by the way, is the five-star Amadeus Silver 2 is the name of the ship.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Five-star. You can go to YouTube and type in Amadeus Silver 2. And you'll see all kinds of videos people have taken that have taken this trip in this this spectacular river cruise. Now, look, I was a terrible world history student. I don't know much of anything about world history, but I like scenery, all right? And there's going to be plenty of that. Now, most of the people on the trip will understand the history of some castles and stuff, and I'll be the dumbest. Yeah, I'll be the dumbest guy on the trip. Don't be reluctant to go if you're stupid about Europe, because I am. I've never been there. I don't know anything about it. But I do know this. I've seen a video of this ship, and I've seen some of the sights that we will be seeing, and I've seen this Rhine River. Limey, did you do anything like this when you were over there at all?
No, absolutely not. I know quite a bit about the Rhine River that played heavily in World War II. I would love to see that. You going to France, please accept my apologies before you go. But the rest of it, you should have an absolutely wonderful time. Holland, I think you're going to be quite amazed about.
All right, well, you start in Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when you say Holland, that would be... Okay.
Right, that would be Amsterdam.
And then we go to Cologne, Germany. That's where all the cologne comes from.
Right.
That'd be a good smelling place, wouldn't it?
Amsterdam is fun.
It is. A lot of people just think, oh,
have you been there?
I have.
Really?
Yes. Been there, and they've got the little women in the windows.
That's
and
what I
the
hear.
Red light district.
Oh yeah, red light district. They have things called hash houses.
Yes.
Where you can go in and order off the menu a particular kind of hashish or whatever the heck it is you want to smoke.
Oh, by the time we get past the first stopping point, we'll be stoned out of our
absolutely.
Minds.
Absolutely.
And
have a woman on your
have
arm.
Met a couple of new women.
Yeah.
So we start there, and then we go to Cologne, Germany, then to Cochem, Germany. I guess I probably messed that up. Then Koblenz, Germany, and then to Mannheim, and then Strasbourg, France. We do go to France, and Lucerne, and it ends in Zurich, and then back to the United States. And all of the stuff you want to know, most of it anyways, on our Facebook page. And you do, look, folks. Again, for those of you who think you have to have a Facebook page to go see, you don't. You just need a smartphone or computer. Go to facebook.com/AM and the PM, and it's there. And so is Julie's contact information. She's our travel agent. The only reason I mentioned it this early is I don't want anybody to not get a shot at this if you even think that by next June 26th, you'd be able to pull this off. Roughly $9,000 per couple, but wow. What a trip. This is going to be... This ship, by the way, I think it's only like... It's 165 passengers, I think. So this is one of those real first-class, intimate, small, not over-the-top floating cities. Like...